It's going to be great. Invite a friend to that. So this morning, I want to talk to you. We've been looking at the book of Colossians for a number of weeks, and this message popped up that I thought, from the verses, and I'd like to share it with you. So we've been looking at Colossians for about 7 weeks now, and I've got a couple of messages to go, and especially as we look forward towards Christmas, looking at how we can invite our friends and changing tact a little bit. And the book of Colossians fits that very well. Who enjoyed our baptism service last weekend? How cool was that? Watching all those people get baptized. And if you haven't been baptized or it didn't work out for you this time, there's always next year. That'll be good too. So Colossians, I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message is When Christ Is All. Here we go. Beautiful. Oh, look, it's got my name. That's very clever of you, AJ. Did you do that? When Christ is all. Colossians 3. Isn't he doing just a great job up there? The quiet achiever. All the sound team do. Colossians 3, verse 11. In this new life, it doesn't matter. This is a New Living Translation. It doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, and I'm picking up on last week a little bit here, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults. Just looking around. It's an interesting one, isn't it? You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. If you've been married for any length of time, you know how important a verse like that is. Oh, that was half a joke, but it's true too, right? I was going to do a message on marriage, and I thought there's probably three quarters today, and I knew quite a few of our married people were away this weekend, so I thought, oh, well, let's save it for another time. So we got this one instead. And then, where was I up to? Make allowances, yeah, that's right. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. We know from verse 9 in this passage that Paul says Christians have laid aside or taken off their old clothing. They have stripped it off and no longer live the same way. The Message Bible in verse 12 says this, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. I read a children's book this week that I would like to share with you a little bit. I'm not in the habit of reading children's books. My kids are grown up, but for some reason it just came into my, when I was looking for some information on this particular subject, and so I found it quite helpful, and I was going to share that with you this morning. The author of the book was Steve Copeland, and the title of the book was Slug, S-L-U-G, Slug the Reluctant Butterfly. I've got a picture of the slug. Slug the Reluctant Butterfly. Okay. See, slug wants to fly. But the idea of being born again as a butterfly frightens him. And like many other caterpillars, he wants to live his way. He is deceived into going to the center of the tree where disobedient caterpillars indulge in worldly activities. They find this substance, in fact, and they start to drink it and they get drunk. And Slug argues a lot with his parents. He's not sure they know what they're talking about. There's no kids like that here, I'm sure. He is happy eating all day long and hanging out with his mates in the center of the tree, even though the crows are circling. Even though his parents tell him his lifestyle will lead to a premature death. And Slug eventually learns to trust and obey and is born again as a butterfly. In conversion, we put on the new self. Last week, when people went through the waters of baptism, they put on the new self. Say it with me, I am a new creation through what Christ has done. I am a new creation through what Christ has done in me. Beautiful. The old self created distinctions between people. See, I was at the gymnasium, as you know, many of you, I just use it as an exercise thing for me. And I happened to go, I can't remember exactly when, but it was one afternoon, wasn't many people there. And I'd finished my workout. And I'd walk to the counter where I'd become quite good friends with one of the personal trainers who's waiting behind the counter to give me my things back. And he said, and his mate was standing there chatting to him because he wasn't very busy, and he said, who was that making all that noise in the gym? There was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of grunting going on. Someone was really getting into it. And I said, I don't know his name, but I think he's pretty regular and he's got a shaved head. And anyway, I can't tell you what he said about that particular person right here and now, but it wasn't very friendly. He said, that guy's a... But we've put off the old self. Christ makes a difference in our life. We don't have the same sort of personality any longer. Jesus makes a difference. We've got a new wardrobe. And so which wardrobe we choose is important. And Paul says, if you want to be a slug, go ahead. I mean, we could go back to the slug picture, couldn't we? And be bad-tempered. Go ahead and be arrogant. Go ahead and lie. Ungrateful, unforgiving. But if you prefer to fly with God, you can live above all the comparing, all the cynicism, lying, deceit, distrust, jealousy, and unforgiveness. I've got another slide of it, another butterfly. And this is the point of verse 11b, which I will read to you from the Message Bible. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. And the people who make up Christ's church do not boast in ethnic distinctives or language or intellect or culture or race or homeland or social status. Those things have passed away. They've passed away. We are all beautiful. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're so beautiful. Even if you don't know them, just tell them they're beautiful anyway. You never know what might happen. You're made new. You're full of color and life. Through Christ working through us. Amen? I'd rather be a butterfly than a slug. Wouldn't you? Anyone here prefer to be a slug? Not for very long. You'll get squashed. See, this is how God wants us to be. I've got a picture of a garden with some butterflies. Ah, so I'm reaching to my very small feminine side right now. The number one primary mark of newness in the church is that Christ is all and in all, as the New King James calls it. Christ is all and in all. Christ is and in all. You become a butterfly, transformed because you are no longer living according to the old you, because you've decided to be transformed and stay transformed, and that happens through faith. And the church is at its peak of life, at the peak of color, at the peak of vibrancy, of brilliance, because people believe and act according to Christ is all. Christ is all. I don't know how many times you can repeat it, but Paul repeated it so many times through the Colossians. Christ is and in all. So we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning. And once we struggled to find our significance and our happiness and our security in what we were in relation to other people, whether Jews, Greeks, African, Filipino, Australian, rich, not so rich, educated or not so much, Pretty or not so pretty? Handsome or not? Businessman or not? Witty or not? Funny or not? We have put off the old self. We put on the new self. This is slug to the butterfly, AJ, just to keep up with me here because I'd have to help you out. Because it's not easy. Once we boasted in our culture, our intellect, our achievements, our money, our houses, our cars, our boats, our looks. But now Christ will affect every major decision you make in your life if he truly is all and in all. Amen? Employment. Where you work and what you do. If Christ is all and in all, it will play a part, yes? Social events. Where you go and what you do. Because Christ is and who you marry. Really important. One of the biggest decisions you'll ever make in life. You don't want to get that one wrong. So you'd like to have someone that also knew that Christ was and if you're, for any reason, you two are not believers, but you're living together, the best thing you can do is believe that Christ is all. It's okay. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know all the circumstances here. But when we know, we have to live a certain way and Christ is all. Yes? I've got to speak this marriage one of these days as well. So who you date is important because Christ is? And? How you talk is important because? And in all. Who you associate with regularly is important because? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives. Galatians 2. No matter what the issue is, no matter what the activity is, no matter what the idea is, no matter what the subject at school is, no matter what the vocation is, no matter what the television program or the movie is, it exists for Christ or for nothing. It rests on Christ or it rests on nothing because Christ is. And so what is so precious about the new self is that for the first time in our lives, we can forget ourselves. Who's glad we can forget ourselves? No, just me. We can forget ourselves and be swallowed up in Christ. And Christ is all when he no longer fits into our agenda, when it suits us. But rather when we fit into his plans and purposes for our lives. See, a lot of the time I believe we think we know what is best for ourselves. When Andrew and I were younger, a lot younger, we didn't have children. And we'd been married for a few years only. And we had 4 weeks annual leave together. And we didn't talk about what each of us wanted to do before we left on the trip. Not a good idea. We were young in our married life. And I just thought I was still a single guy, actually. And just thought, I'll go surfing whenever I can. Because we were going from here all the way around the coastline, all the way up to northern New South Wales in our 4-week trip. And after a while, Andrea, you know, after a while, a few surfs of that, well, she said, I'd like to go into the city. What do you want to go to the city for? Kath, you've never had an argument. You're looking at me like. We all have stuff, right? It's early in our marriage. Better to get it sorted. But it takes time, right? We're still together. We've had some close calls. But you know, I didn't want to go to the city. I couldn't see any reason. And what was I doing? It was all about me. Everything I was doing was all about me. My marriage wasn't going to last very long if I kept that up. Now we're still together. Things have changed. I haven't got time for the full story. But the trip was compromised. Charlie. What each of us thought was going to be best for ourselves was not the case. We hadn't considered each other's needs and wants, so the trip was compromised. And the new thing about the new self is that Christ and not self is? Christ is our success. Yes? If I'd put Christ into the mix and maybe prayed about our holiday, do you think it would have been a bit better? He might have helped me even if I was still thick. Christ is our significance. Christ is our fulfillment. Christ is our satisfaction. Christ is our security, and Christ is our peace, because Christ is. Things get ugly when we revert back to the old way of thinking about relationships. Amen? See, there's this woolly bear slug that I want to show you, AJ. Ugly looking critter. It's to say, don't get near me. But we can be a woolly bear. Colossians 3:13, you must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Staying full of colour and life above the problems people create in our worlds is never easy. It's easy for situations to become ugly between people. And what does Paul say to the church? You must make allowances. And here's an interesting observation about this verse. And I'll give it to you. It's not enough to simply say Christ is all, because if it were enough, then the rest of Colossians would not have been written. You must make allowances would never need to be written. God might have done it that way. I'm going to explain what I mean. He might have created in you a new self that was so complete and so perfect that you would intuitively act in purity and love and justice without ever praying or needing a prayer or to read the Bible and never having to be in a process at all. You're already like God. And the new self could have been created with such an unbroken focus on Christ is all that it would have no need for a preacher to cry out that Christ is all, and no need to belong to a connect group where you struggle with questions. And some of those questions would probably be something like this, because as you know, we pray for some people, they get healed, pray for others, they don't. Well, why hasn't that person get it? There's a mystery. How is Christ all when that marriage is tottering? How is Christ my all when I keep on doing what I hate? How is Christ my all when I struggle to do what I know I must? Why did I react that way? And the new self could have come into being with no need for preaching, no need for connect groups, without need for authority or structure in the church. We could all have all our clothing in place. Has anyone got their clothing in place? I don't think I'd like to see any hands this morning. None of us have. Didn't happen that way. We are in the process of being made new. Christ is all that he might become all in all. Verse 12, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and you must make allowances for each other's faults. Why? Because you have come to know and experience that Christ is all. We confirm that Christ is all by what you become for others in the community of his church. And so, the Message Bible puts verse 14 like this. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. When Christ is all, you are doing your best to live in the transformed life rather than the old slug-like life, prickly, woolly life like we saw. You are understanding what it is to live with each other. You help one another and stay united with one another. Love unifies. You are not in unity when you are out to please yourself, because others matter as much as you. There is a commitment to Christ and his church that is above all else, because Christ is all and in all. What's Christ over? The church. Who's head of the church? Christ. I was telling you about my new wave ski a couple of weeks ago. I bought a new wave ski. My family bought it for my 50th birthday present, which was way back on the 20th of October now. And when I first got my new wave ski, I sit on it. It's got a little rubber seat pad. And I had to tack it on because I wasn't quite sure exactly where I wanted it to sit, because it's really important for balance. And so I tacked it on the day I got the wave ski, and I travelled to a place where I knew there'd be waves up Triggs. And as soon as I went to sit on the board, the tack that I'd put on, the glue, just came loose. And I was finding it really hard to balance. And I couldn't balance. I had to take the rubber seatbelt completely off. Seat pad off, and I was slip sliding all over the place, and it was very hard for me to control what I was doing. See, this verse is saying that love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony, and the glue that holds it all together is love. Love is the bond of perfection, it says in another translation. And so when I got my new board back home, I quickly dried it and glued the seat pad meticulously in place. And the next surf, it was all flowing so well. There was quite a big surf that day. And I wondered if it was actually the same board. I was in unison. I was catching waves I didn't even know I could catch. It was amazing. It was deliberate. I was having fun. It was the best thing. If you're only a surfer knows the feeling. And Paul's thought is that love is the essential part of our spiritual clothing that ties all the other qualities in verse 12 and 13 together in one dynamic lifestyle. It is the glue that holds everything together. If you're with your husband or wife, you can actually lean over to them and say, "Thank you for being my glue." See, our Christian life flows through love. It is at its optimum. Our life never quite fits correctly without the bond of love. Our spiritual wardrobe will only be complete through love. It's not likely that we will get our lives flowing through love all the time. Would that be right? And that's why Christ is all and not us. But it's also through Christ being all that we are able to sort out all. So back to my original story of Slug, the reluctant butterfly. There was a time in Slug's life where he resisted becoming a butterfly, even though he really wanted to fly. And I think this is us at times. We want to fly. But the thought of humbling ourselves or apologizing for something, making allowances for others, is stopping us from becoming the person the Creator intends us to be. And Slug should have spun himself a cocoon, but was resisting. He was becoming an old slug. Because that would mean part of him would die. Eventually, he listened to the Creator's voice inside of him. And he became a wonderful butterfly. Let me read you from Colossians 3:15 before I put up the next butterfly slide, AJ. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Christ is the church's tuning fork. And when we are in tune with Him, we are in tune with one another. We go from slug to butterfly more of the time when Christ is all and in all. We get prickly like the woolly one. We become woolly and wildlike and try and camouflage ourselves when we live without the bond of love in our hearts to make allowances for one another. And peace is to rule our hearts. If there is no peace, it is a fair indicator that you are in need of a spiritual tune-up. And Paul's theme of this passage is to promote unity in the church. No man is an island, one of the comedians used to say that. We are to live and work together in the unity of love. So, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. It's plural. I want to finish with this picture. When Christ is all, we are constantly transforming. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you that you're a God of love. And we're learning how to love. Help us to continue to grow through this bond of love, this glue that sticks us together. If we're married, Father, I pray that you'd unify us. If we're not, I'd pray we'd find the right partner because Christ is all and in all. Lord, I pray that who we are will affect what we watch because Christ is all and in all. I pray that who we hang out with would be affected because Christ is all in all. Maybe there are relationships that we need to consider having some distance from because Christ is all in all. Father, today, I pray that we would live the transformed life through Christ in us, working through us, that we may fly with you. So maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. I would love to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you're not in relationship with Him. You have made a decision for Him at some stage of your life, but you've backslidden. You're no longer a part of belonging to the house of God. But maybe today Christ is all and in all, and you recognize that you need to have Christ back in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, can we pray this prayer together? Let's pray it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came. You died on the cross. You took my sin and pain. You took my emptiness. You took my lack of purpose. You nailed it to the cross. I give it to you, Lord, today. I receive of your brand new life. I thank you that you rose again, that I may partake of your life and live with your Spirit the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. I receive of that new life right now. Amen. With every head bowed still and eyes closed, if you've prayed that prayer and you've backslidden, you need to come back to God. Or this morning, you've never made a decision to accept Jesus as Lord of your life, I'd love for you to do something for me now. And that is, on the count of three, just to pop up your hand and I'll see it. You can pop it down again. Just acknowledge that you want to make Christ all in your life again, or for the first time. One, two, three. Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you, I see your hand. A couple of people just saying, yeah, that's me. Why don't we stand together this morning? We're going to sing a song to finish in a moment.